Thank you, Lord. Let's go to the word of the Lord this morning. We're going to go to Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amazing grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. God, we ask that you touch each and every heart today. Touch our families that are represented here today. Touch our church, our community. Open your word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. There was a store owner, and he was tacking a sign up in his store window that read, "Puppies for sale." Does anybody like little puppies? Puppies for sale. When a little boy appeared on the other side of the glass and he stuck his head around the corner and said, "How much are you selling the puppies for?" The man told the lad, well, he didn't expect to let any of them go for less than $50. Try buying a puppy for $50 today. Sometimes you can't. Registered puppy, no. The boy reached in his pocket and he pulled out some change and he looks up at the store owner and he says, "I have $2.37. Can I look at them?" The store owner smiled and he whistled. From the kennel, a dog named Lady comes running around the corner, running down the middle of the aisle. Behind her, 5 tiny little balls of fur, of joy and happiness. Don't let that kid you. They're pooping machines is what that is. Wake you up all night long is what that is. One of the little puppies, though, lagged behind. Immediately, the little boy asked about the limping puppy. "What's wrong with that little doggy?" "Well, the veterinarian told us that this one is missing its hip socket, and it will never function right. He'll always limp like that." Immediately, the little boy said, "That's the one I want to buy." The store owner replies, No, you don't want to buy that dog. If you really want him, I'll just give him to you." The little puppy was damaged goods. Damaged goods. The little boy got a look of anger and got in the owner's space. And he said angrily, I don't want you to give him to me. That doggy is worth just as much as all the other puppies. And I'll pay full price for him. In fact, I'll give you my whole $2.37 right now. And 50 cents a month until I have him paid for in full." The store owner replied, No. You don't want that dog. He's never going to be able to run and jump and play like the other dogs." In response, the little boy pulled up his pant leg to reveal a badly twisted leg on his left side, supported by steel braces. "Well, sir," he said, "I don't run so well myself. And the puppy will need someone who understands." Damaged goods. Damaged goods. The writer of Hebrews tells us explicitly that our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. Because of this, we should have confidence to approach God's throne where there is grace. Oh, amazing grace. There's not a person in here today who has not been at one point of your life damaged goods. Damaged goods. It is there that we will receive mercy at the throne of God. Receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. To put it in modern vernacular, you would have to say our Savior, the High Priest. He's been there and He's done that. He understands what you're going through. He understands where you are at in your life, in your situation, in your circumstance. He understands exactly what you are up against in the next moment. Not just the past, not just the present, but what you're going to face. And He'll be there when you face that too. Because He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's not going to put you in a situation and turn around and walk out. Only you can walk out. But He'll be right there when you just say, Jesus, damaged goods. We are like the little puppy in the story I read and told you about. We're born with a defect that we have to contend with throughout this lifetime. We will walk with the marked limp of a man or a woman born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We are damaged goods. Damaged goods. But Jesus, who became sin that we might overcome sin. We have a way out. There is a way to overcome. He paid the price in full for you and I. He purchased us. All the limps, all the defects, all the problems, all the issues that you and I have, He purchased all of that with the price of His life. Philippians 2 and verse 7. But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hebrews 5 and 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that He Himself also is compassed with infirmity. Jesus, our High Priest, Jesus, our King, our God, is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Greek word that is translated as touched with the feelings is more than knowledge of human infirmity. It's a feeling by reason of a common experience with human beings. In other words, Jesus not only has a knowledge about our weaknesses, He has a common experience with us in our weaknesses because He robed Himself in flesh to take on. You can't say, well, God, you don't understand. Yes, He does understand. Well, God, you just don't get this. You've never been. Yes, He has. Times the entire world in every situation and everything. He took it all on. And He died on Calvary. Another way of saying it is that Jesus does not have sympathy but empathy with us. He has had the same experience as us. The only other time that this Greek word is used is in Hebrews 10 and 34, and it's actually translated as compassion. He has compassion. What a God. What a God that He would come down. I'm sorry, I have to admit, if I was God and mankind had done what they had done after I had created and blessed and given, I don't know that I would have been. That's why I'm not God. That's why you're not God. I'd have taken them out, start over. I ain't gonna deal with these people. But what a God. He came and He robes Himself. He had compassion. And makes another way for us to make it. The writer is conveying the message that Jesus has compassion on us because He knows what we are struggling with. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly where you're at. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He understands where you're at and what you're going through. Don't feel like you're alone. You're not alone. The adulterous woman in John chapter 8, we read the story of this woman who falls into the category of damaged goods. Nobody would have anything to do with her because of her character. And she was flawed. She was an adulteress. She involved herself in illicit relationships. She was a reproach to the people around her. And those who brought her to Jesus wanted him to sentence her to die. And they wanted to be there and be the ones that would carry out the sentence. And we'll stone her, but she was just damaged goods. Damaged goods. Her status as damaged goods made her an excellent candidate for the grace of God. Romans, we find a wonderful, wonderful script, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking to somebody today. Hear me this morning. Maybe you found yourself in a trap of sin and you feel as though you can't get out and you just keep going around in circles. Damaged goods, religion is against you and perhaps your family is standing against you and Jesus is telling you, hey, I've been in your shoes. It's going to be okay. Just keep pressing towards the mark. Just keep going. Just keep applying yourself. Keep the word of God. Keep a diet and keep in the church. Stay in the church. Don't get out of the church. Don't get mad because something steps on your toe. Just say, God, if it applies to me, I want to receive it. I'm damaged goods. God, pick me up and make me the man or the woman I'm supposed to be, God. I don't have it all figured out, but you do. You'll remember that when this woman's accusers came to Jesus with her, Jesus turned and he began to write in the sand. There's been much speculation my entire life of what Jesus wrote in the sand that day. I don't know, I wasn't there. Pretty honest. It's a fact. But I propose to you this morning that what he wrote is not nearly as important as the message I believe he was sending throughout the eons of time. We have here a picture of the Creator putting his finger into the dirt that he created. I submit to you this morning that since he created man out of the dust of the earth, Jesus was just showing this adulterous woman that he doesn't mind touching his creation. Oh yeah, yeah, Jesus is willing to get his hands dirty. Jesus is willing to step in on your behalf and take care of the needs that you have. The Creator, he wants to touch his creation in order to bring forgiveness and healing to the land. And he wants to touch you today. You've got to be open. You've got to say, God, here I am. You've got to have a response. Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel read a story of this young man who was born into a royal family. He was the son of a prince, the grandson of a king. His name was Mephibosheth. Try pronouncing that 10 times fast. We pick up the story in 1 Samuel 31. For years, King Saul had pursued David, the young man whom God anointed to replace him as king. Saul's obsession with hunting David down left Israel's enemies unchallenged and unchecked. And when they realized that Saul was preoccupied with capturing and killing David, they amassed their armies to rise up against Israel. And on Mount Gilboa, King Saul and his son Jonathan fought to the death as the Philistine routed Israel's overmatched and their under-equipped army. And for a brief time, Saul's son ruled part of Israel. But David's mighty warrior, Joab, had first killed this interim king's General Abner. And then when Joab's men began to murder and kill, fleeing before Joab's mighty men was this little boy and his nurse, or his handmaid, his caretaker, if you will. Mephibosheth means shameful one. During the panic, being overrun and trying to escape, this young man's nurse drops him. Damaged goods. Actually ended up crippling him. She managed to escape to a place called Lodabar, across the Jordan. But the fall that she had with this little child in her arms permanently crippled him for life. Even though he was Jonathan's son and the grandson of King Saul, Mephibosheth was destined to grow up in obscurity, crippled physically, crippled emotionally, crippled spiritually. A sentence of living death had been pronounced over Mephibosheth. He was not just the grandson of a king, the son of a prince. He was an outlaw, an outcast. The new king, he felt, was out to get him. Mephibosheth was the descendant of an anointed one. He was somebody. Yet he exchanged the truth of his position for the lie of his circumstance. Damaged goods. Damaged goods. He had come to believe that his present life had to be chained to the past failures and tragedies of his forefathers. He was raised in a place of fear and doubt. He was raised in a house. You got to remember, he was a little boy when he was exiled and taken out. So all he had heard as he grew up was, if the king finds you, you're dead. The king is out to get you. He's against your family. This king overthrew your grandfather. That's all he knew, fear and doubt. Damaged goods. He was living in Lodabar. The name Lodabar means dry and barren. Has anybody here ever lived in a dry and barren place? Maybe not physical location, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally. You're in Lodabar. It's dry. It's barren. It's frustrating. Everything you try to do just seems to backfire in your face. Ever been there, anybody? Yeah. This little boy was living in Lodabar, physically living in Lodabar, and also mentally and spiritually. Lodabar was a dwelling place and the place of lack. It was a place of poverty. It was a place of dryness. It was a place of desolation. It was the wilderness. It was the desert place. It was empty fields and no sowing and harvesting, and there was nothing there. It was just a barren place. It was a place that you would go if you were an outcast, an outlaw, someone trying to flee. Lodabar was never intended to be a destination or a dwelling place, but it had become Mephibosheth's prison of emptiness and isolation. It was not a life, but a living death. There's a whole nother message right there. Some of you are living in Lodabar and you need to come out of Lodabar. It is not dry anymore. You can find your victory and your healing and your miracle in Christ Jesus. You have let the devil lie to you too. I don't know where this is going, but it's going. You've let the devil lie to you too long, and you are stuck in this desert wilderness. Get out of it. Come out of Lodabar. I'm going to work on a message on that. Come out of Lodabar. Praise God. The only way out of Lodabar for Mephibosheth, though, required that a prior promise, a prior covenant, be remembered and cherished and be fulfilled. David sends an invitation, because David knew where he was at. He sends an invitation through Ziba. But Mephibosheth had to move from Lodabar to the palace in order to claim this blessing. You see, there's always got to be a response. You've got to do something. It's the same way for us. You can't just come in church and sit on the pew and say, well, God, give me my golden ticket. There was a news article this last week. A man and a woman were selling golden tickets to heaven. Collected over $10,000 from people. I think it was in Florida. Bunch of nuts. Guaranteed ticket to heaven. You can't just come in and sit on a pew and have a guaranteed ticket to heaven. You've got to do something. You've got to have a response. You've got to invest something. If you make money through investments, what do you have to do? You have to put money into an investment. If you get a paycheck, what do you have to do? You have to go give your time to receive a paycheck. There's always an investment. It's always a give take. It's always the law of the harvest. You sow something to get something. So the condition that the king put on Mephibosheth was, in order to receive this blessing, you have to move to the palace. He had been wounded. He had been maimed by one who loved him and who had the responsibility to care for him. Perhaps you know just how he felt, because maybe you've been wounded by somebody close to you. Whole nother message there. Being carried by his nurse, the protector, the provider, the caretaker, maimed him for life. The king has sent me to tell you, there's a place for you in the palace, but you've got to do something about it. You've got to move out of the old nature, the old way, the old things, the old habits. And you've got to step into the newness of life. Mephibosheth had spent a life hiding out in darkness, existing in fear, deception. But royalty came to him. The covenant of a promise outlasted his hopelessness. Can I tell you, you have a promise? You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. You are somebody. You have a right. You are an heir to the throne. You have a way of salvation and a plan of salvation that you can apply to your life. You don't have to hide in fear any longer. You don't have to hide in doubt any longer. You don't have to be damaged goods any longer. The King of Kings has sent you and sent for you and desires for you to dine at his table. When Mephibosheth came back to the palace of his childhood, he sat at the king's table. He ate a king's meal. But the best part that I realized in reading this story was his paralyzed legs, his damaged legs. They were under the king's table. Did you catch that? They were covered by the king's table. You're covered by the blood of the Lamb. They were covered. All of his hurt, all of his damage, all of his weakness that people would look at and say, oh, feel sorry for him. He's damaged goods. It was covered by the king's table. To the world, he was damaged goods, but to the king, he was a candidate for grace. Do you hear me this morning? We serve amazing God. You may come to the Lord's table as a wounded, maimed, hurt person. But once you sit down at the king's table, your lameness is covered. Your damaged goods, they're covered. And you become just like everybody else at the king's table. Simon Peter, he denied, we're just talking about damaged goods, he denied knowing Jesus. He cussed the young lady out who fingered him as the companion of Christ. But grace had already been activated on his behalf. Jesus had already told Peter that he would deny him and do exactly what he did. And he actually prayed for him that Satan wouldn't sift him. After Jesus is resurrected from the dead, he meets up with Mary at the tomb and he tells her, go tell my disciples and Peter that I am alive. He made a point to have her tell Peter personally that he was calling for him. Before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, Peter was damaged goods. Afterwards, he was a candidate for divine grace. Upon this rock. Story after story throughout the Bible speaks of damaged goods. Samson, Daniel, the Hebrew boys, Moses, one of my favorite, the prodigal son. Damaged goods. Father, give me my portion. Talk about an entitled generation that we live in. Here we have it all these years ago. Father, give me my portion. You ain't worked for this. You ain't done nothing for this. Give me my portion. He takes it and he goes and spends it in riotous living. He loses it all. He finds himself in a pig pen eating and sharing with the pigs. And he comes to himself. And when he comes to himself, he realizes, how much more do the servants in my father's house have? Here am I. You know, it's amazing some of the things that we have to go through in life before we will come to ourselves. I've changed my prayer up a little bit. God, help me to learn a little bit quicker where I don't have to get to that point in the pig pen. Let me see. Let people of God speak into my life and share with me and protect me from getting to that point to where I have to be broken and hurt and down and then come to myself. Lord, I want to get it right before I get there. I want to say, Lord, here I am right now. Take and do with me whatever you need to do. Damaged goods. In that story, we see at the very end, after he comes to himself, that the father had watched every day, had been watching. Is that my son? No. Is that my... Is that him? Can I tell you, God is just like that. He's watching and waiting on you. He's waiting for your response. He's waiting for you to say, God, here I am. When his son finally came down the road, said the father ran to meet him. He fell on him. You know, when a store... I worked in Home Depot for a few months, years and years and years ago. Thank God I made it through that pig pen. If you work at Home Depot, no offense. My time there was unique. But when we would receive damaged goods, we couldn't go put them back on the shelf to resell. Doesn't work that way. You'd have to box them up. And you have to send them back to the manufacturer. Now, they might fix them up, repackage them, send them back out. But they had to go back to the manufacturer for repackaging, fixing it, or being thrown away. If you're here today and you're damaged goods, you're in the manufacturer's house this morning. You're right where you need to be. You're right where you need to be. And I've come to simply tell you this morning that he will take you back. Don't waste today. Don't let today pass you by. Let the King of Glory heal and touch you. Maybe it's a situation with your family. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's a relationship you're dealing with. Maybe it's past issues that have haunted you. Maybe it's the battlefield of your own mind, and a thought or an emotion or a sound will trigger a thought. It just throws you into, I understand that. It'll throw you into a whirlwind and your mind is a million miles away. I'm asking that God would just touch and heal this morning, a complete touch, a complete heal. Damaged goods. You can make it. Hear me this morning. You can make it. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on this church. More importantly, don't give up on yourself. Have a response to the King of Glory. Lord, touch us today. Bless us as we go into worship service this morning. I ask, God, that you touch every family that's represented here today. I ask, God, that you heal our brokenness. Touch our hurts, our pains, our fear, our doubt. I'm asking you, God, for a complete healing, not only for myself, but for everybody here. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in about 14 minutes for worship service. Greet somebody this morning and welcome them to the house of the Lord.